Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talk Station.
Coming up on 8:06 here at 55 KRCD Talk Station. A very happy Wednesday. Of course, Wednesdays at 8:30 means Judge Andrew Napolitano every Wednesday. In the meantime, though, I am so pleased to welcome to the 55 KRCD Morning Show Liz Wheel. You probably know, or you've seen her on television, you read what she's previously written. One of the nation's most prominent trial lawyers, as opposed to what I used to be, was a litigation attorney. That means she's in court all the time actually trying cases. Highly regarded commentator, regular commentator for a variety of television shows. She was prior legal analyst and reporter for Fox News, tenured law professor at University of Wisconsin School of Law. She was previously a legal analyst and reporter for NBC News and NPR, and also a former federal prosecutor for the United States Attorney's Office. Welcome to the program, Liz Wheel. We're here to talk about your brand new book, and frightening reality it is, A Spy in Plain Sight, the inside story of the FBI and Robert Hansen, America's most damaging Russian spy. Good to talk to you today, Liz. Welcome.
Hey, Brian. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Really my pleasure. And I have to ask you before we get to the details of this Hansen character, Robert Hansen, sort of a 10,000-foot question. We talk all the time on the program about the vast sums of money that go out of the government. There's no real oversight. Money gets misappropriated, misspent, stolen. There's a lot of fraud. And I think about that in the context of the vast number of federal employees. And in the context of a spy stealing state information and selling it or otherwise giving it to a foreign government, how in the hell is it even possible for oversight entities to keep track of all these employees to know whether or not someone's doing that?
Well, I agree that there are, you know, there's fraud within the government. We know about that, countless examples. But here we're talking about, you know, you've got men and women at the highest level of the FBI and the CIA involved in counter-espionage. I mean, that's their job, right? I mean, right. Hansen, for example, was at the highest level in the Russian department. So we're not talking about thousands of people then, right? Then it's a fairly select group of people. And I would think, and the FBI didn't do it here, but I would think going forward that the FBI can scrutinize those people and the CIA can scrutinize those people and have better safeguards in place so that we don't have another Hansen again. And that was what was so frightening to me when I was doing this research, finding out from all my sources. I mean, you don't have to listen to me, listen to my sources, you know, the FBI and the CIA, and say, you know, can there be another Hansen today? Absolutely. And there probably already is. And yeah, that is chilling to the bone.
It is, especially in a time when, you know, one's commitment to country seems to be eroding at a rapid pace. I mean, that people are out there damning the United States, American citizens, damning the very existence of the United States of America. We were born of original sin. We need to be torn down and re-envisioned. Those people are not patriots, clearly, and therefore they seem more likely, of course, to be willing to do something like this. But in the case of Hansen, you have what is described as a strict Catholic conservative, considered Russia a godless country. Why would he do this?
You know, it's just crazy. I spoke with his psychiatrist, Dr. David Charney, at great length for this book. And I asked him, in fact, I asked him recently as Friday, you know, how could he do this? And he said, you know, even as a psychiatrist, I can't quite fathom it, except that it's narcissism combined with compartmentalization, you know, this idea that I can compartmentalize everything, that here are the Russians over here, I'm doing good for, you know, good with them. Here's the FBI, I'm doing good with them. Here's my home life and my going to mass every day. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, we have to look at it, though, from a warped persona, right? Because we don't think like that. Yeah. So how does a spy or would-be spy think? They compartmentalize, and in one part of their brain, they think it's okay, where, of course, it's not. And the point I would make about, you know, other people not being patriots, absolutely true. Let's say your neighbor's like that, right? But your neighbor probably doesn't have access to the highest level of, you know, counter-espionage and espionage information that we have in this country. You know, so more than a little bit safer than a Robert Hansen character.
I would suppose so, but he had to be struggling with some measure of cognitive dissonance, considering his outward persona versus what he was actually doing,
which is
undermining his country. Did anybody? I guess. What did his coworkers think of him? What did his friends and neighbors? I mean, did anybody have a whiff of belief that he was actually selling out his country?
Oh yeah. His brother-in-law, Mark Walk, who was also in the FBI, tried to turn him in. He said, you know, his wife found this cash in the drawer. They're talking about retiring to Poland. What? I mean, this is in the middle of the Cold War, you know? So he tried to turn him in. He said, I don't know that he's a spy, but, you know, there are just some weird things going on there in the Hansen house. Maybe you should check it out. And so I spoke with the guy who turned him in, and then I spoke with the supervisor that he turned him in to, and their accounts, you know, vary widely. I put them both in the book, and I let the reader decide what really happened. But, yeah, there were these what I call puffs of smoke. I mean, I'll give you another example where he hacked into his colleague at the FBI, hacked into his computer. And they said, wait a second, you're hacking into your, you know, colleague's computer. He says, oh, but I'm the computer guy. I'm the computer guru. I was hacking into it. Yes, just to show you, FBI, how weak our system is and how I need to fix it. And they said, oh, okay, keep going.
Okay, nothing to see here. Well, you mentioned payments. Now, could it be just simply an issue of getting money?
That was part of it. I never believe with any of these spies that that's their sole motivation. I mean, yeah, Hansen needed money. He got kids in parochial private school. He lived in a suburb in New York and in D.C. that was too expensive, really, for an FBI salary. So, yeah, I needed the money. But I really think it's also this narcissism, this feeling like I'm smarter than anyone else. Let me show you. Disgruntled employee. He didn't feel like he was appreciated enough at his job, whereas the Russians, you know, sent him flowery letters and were familiar with him. They played him, you know,
stroke
right?
His
he
ego.
Loved
yeah.
He loved that. Yeah, he loved that gratitude and, oh, you know, you're so smart. I mean, the scary thing is, you know, I was just talking about your neighbor. I'm sure your neighbor's nice, but your proverbial neighbor. I mean, we know people like that. We know people who think they're smarter than everyone else, who are, you know, appreciated enough at work and need money. And you put all that together, plus the glamour of the James Bond kind of thing. He had that fixation from an early age, according to his friends. Yeah, yeah, I got that as well.
The adrenaline endorphin rush of doing something naughty.
Exactly. But you put all that together with someone who has secrets, again, you know, probably not your neighbor, that's a scary thing. And we need to supervise them better.
Fair enough. But you mentioned the expensive suburban home, the private schools. That seems to me to be a giant red flag. I mean, it's almost a stereotype police corruption thing on television programs and movies. Like, oh, hey, Jim, how is it that you own that house? A nice car you're driving there on a cop's salary?
You pinpointed the problem is that for the 20 years he was in the FBI, they never did an updated financial check. Mm. They never did an updated background check. They never subjected him to a random polygraph. All of things now that are instituted because of Hansen and others. But, I mean, you know, make sure that when they do these background checks, these updated background checks, they do them with vigor. You know, don't just pass them off to a retired FBI agent who asks two questions. And I'm not maligning them because my dad has done them as well, you know, but make sure that, you know, you give them to someone like my dad who's really going to do them, right? Not
right.
Just kind of slough them off. You know, you got to be careful with these guys.
Yes, indeed. Well, and, you know, the old honeypot where they dangle a beautiful agent in front of you and some guys just have no ability to say no. Was that type of situation involved or who was his contact with the Russians?
You know, no, it was an older Russian white guy.
Oh, okay.
Their caution was the guy's name. No, none of that. I mean, he had a mistress here and there, and I talked about that in the book, and he was horrible, horrible to his wife. I mean, really awful. And again, you know, it doesn't befit the Catholic persona that he was, you know, sending out to the world. It really is pretty disgusting,
yeah,
honestly.
A lot of people play that game in the world. But again, you point out the obvious elephant in the room is him having access to all this espionage. And so cutting to the chase on that one, I mean, you call him in the subtitle of the book, The Inside Story of FBI Robert Hansen and America's Most Damaging Russian Spy.
Yeah.
How exactly did he damage us? What type of info was he feeding the Russians?
Oh, my gosh. And he started off with the identity of our top secret Russian asset, a guy named Polyakov at the time, who was our best asset in Russia, you know, someone we'd flipped to work for us. And we need that intel. Anyway, he gave them the ID of this guy. The Russians, no trial. They just execute him. And I have that kind of, you know, the start of the book, how they do that and how they videotape it to deter other, you know, potential Russians. So that starts his career. And then he gives over more identities. He gives over nuclear weapons secrets that we have. He gives over information about where the president and vice president are going to be. These are just examples, right?
Wow.
And yeah, the U.S. calculated the loss back then. Now, he was arrested in 2001 at $10 billion.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, all the lives lost. You can't put a price on that.
And see, that to me is the most troubling component of this. I believe it's one thing, and I'm not saying it's acceptable, but, you know, giving Russians secret technology information isn't necessarily going to result in someone getting killed. But to know that your information directly led to the murder of another human being, you have got to be some kind of sociopath.
I think so. And then to be... And I'm not a doctor, you know, but to be doing that at the same time, because he knew, certainly after that first one when the Russians made a videotape of it, he knew what he was doing and kept doing it. And then on the other side, to be to the world, I'm this devout Catholic, I hate the Russians, they're commies, all of this, it's just so, you know, sad and mind-boggling that somebody could be so deceptive. But they are. They are, and that's why the FBI has to keep on their toes about it.
No doubt. I guess, I hope we learned a very, very good lesson from this terrible, hard lesson. Well, okay, you mentioned he was arrested in 2001. It's important to ask, how was he finally discovered?
Well, he was discovered through a Russian asset that we had, and this guy was paid, because I confirmed this in the book, he was paid $7 million to give over audio cassette where they were able to identify Hansen, you know, through the voice talking to the Russian handler. And so after that, then they had to set up a sting operation to get real evidence on him, because they couldn't use this Russian on, you know, you couldn't put him on trial. You couldn't have him as a witness. So they had a sting operation for him. They caught him making one last drop that he was thought was the Russian. And get this, when they catch him, when the FBI swarms in on him, he says, "What took you so long?" He has to be the smartest guy in the room, even to the end.
Well, you know, haven't you seen my house? And didn't you know my kids are going to private school on this paltry FBI salary? You guys are idiots, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
What took you so long? So he ends up, he's in right now in a Supermax in Florence, Colorado, 23-hour-a-day solitary confinement. Ooh. He's never going to get out. He hangs around with the Unabomber and El Chapo and those, you know, delightful people there.
Oh, my word. I can't think of a greater horror in the world than being locked up solitary 23 hours a day.
That's
living hell. And I hope he's enjoying every minute of that hell.
Now, I hope he's not.
the name of the book, it's fantastic. A Spy in Plain Sight, Inside Story, FBI, and Robert Hansen, America's Most Damaging Russian Spy, by my guest today, the incomparable Liz Wheel. Real quick here before we go. We have China. We have North Korea. We have Iran, just to name a few. We also have Russia, and clearly with the issue in Ukraine. I have to assume, I think it's safe, that there are active spies connected with these countries in government. What's your perception of that? You seem to have taken some comfort in the steps that they take now to make sure that these people are well vetted and they stay on top of them. But what's your suspicion in terms of the prevalence of spies presently?
I think it's still a problem. I mean, when all of these sources at the highest level of these agencies are telling me there probably already is, that means the safeguards have failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're right, and again, don't take my word. I didn't know this going in, but all of these people telling me to a person. One agent put it really well. He said, "Will there be another bank robbery? Will there be another fraud?" You know, of course, espionage is a crime.
Yeah.
People commit crime. Well, it was like, whoa, right. I didn't think of it like that before.
All I can hope is they all read your book and they put better people on the job. New York Times bestselling author Liz Wheel, what a delight to talk to you today. All my listeners are going to get a copy of your book, which they can get on my website at 55krc.com. Thanks very much for documenting this. And
thank you, Brian.
Cautionary tale.
It was really fun.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
I hope we talk again. 820, 55KRCD Talk Station. Infinity of Cincinnati, right now, this is a great time, and it's amazing that this is even going on at Infinity.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.